Blog Talk Radio. This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring...
Meet you in the shadow of my wings. I will. I'll meet you in the wildest of your dreams. I will. Winter's gone. Spring is now coming, my love.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Ken Bordenborough, or Ken Burrow, or call me Ken. That's what my mama always called me. Anyhow, we want to thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, we have a special guest, Brother Tony. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, Tony. Is it Badini?
Yeah, that's close enough, Ken.
Well, pronounce it so I know how to say it.
Vadini.
Wow, yeah, that's close. That was real close then. Anyhow. Go ahead.
There's a little distortion in my headset, but yeah, that's okay. Close enough.
All right. Well, I want to welcome you to the show. Tony has been saved since 1979, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1980. He served across the board in many different denominations and different places, and he has seen the miraculous healing power of God throughout his ministry. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the miracles of healing. So, Tony, tell us a little more about yourself, and we'll just sit back and listen.
After I got saved, I was... I knew I was called to do something. I didn't know exactly what I thought it was. Evangelism. I became what I would call like an evangelistic maniac. I just was handing out tracts, sharing with people all the time. We would just others that felt called to share the gospel would get together, and we would hand out leaflets, or we were in college at that time, at the local college, and we would do all kinds of things that were good ideas, and try to reach as many people as we could. It was sometimes we did some things that we probably shouldn't have, but like one time we were driving down a two-lane road and we wanted to reach a trucker that was in front of us, so we passed him. It was a two-lane road, so we're in the wrong lane, and we passed him, and my friend stands up inside the cab of my small truck and reaches out to this guy that was driving this tractor trailer, and the guy rolls down his window and he takes the track, and then we passed him up and kept on going. So we were just fanatics. And then I wouldn't recommend that to anybody be doing that again or doing anything like that. But back then, you know, I was in my 20s, and everybody I hung around with were around that age. And when you're around that age, you do a lot of crazy things. And then I went to Bible college because I felt the call to be an evangelist, and I thought that was the only way to get into the pulpit. And then I ran out of money, came back home, got involved with what I guess could be called a New Testament church, and was baptized in the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues and prophecy. And shortly after that, or prophesying, and shortly after that, started functioning in the gifts. They would just start happening. I didn't really know a whole lot about the gifts except that they existed. Didn't know how to function in them. Was very ignorant in them, but started functioning in them. And after I left that group, as the Lord was leading me to go, I would go to other groups, and I would I'm 62 now, but even during the years, I would go to a meeting, and I would just be sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord would start doing things and using me to do them. I'll give you an example. I was at a meeting in Marion, at the Marion Christian Center, and there were a lot of people there. And I just went, first time I was there, it's about 150 miles away from my home. So I went down there, I'm just part of the group, I'm sitting in the audience, and somebody was speaking, and they said, let's break up into small groups and pray, and the people will that are in charge will come and pray. And they'll share on different topics. So I went into a room. There were about 50 people in this little school room. And I was standing way in the back. And I think the man in charge, his name was Bill Hammond, I think. And he happened to be there that day. And he happened to be in that little room ministering to the people that were in that room. So I was sitting in the back. And he starts praying for people, laying hands on people. It was very crowded in the room. And all of a sudden, the people parted. As if angels were moving them out of the way, and I'm just looking right at him, and he's looking at me, and he says to me, who are you? And I said, my name's Tony, I'm just a guy. And he goes, wow, the Holy Spirit's all over you. And so he had me come up, and he prayed for me. And another time I was sitting in the Morning Star ministry in North Carolina, I was just sitting there, and one of the guys that's preaching is, I think I was in the second row, just visiting, first time there. There's probably about 150 people in the room. And so it wasn't like I stood out of anything of myself. And the guy's name was Steve, I think, that was preaching. And he's preaching. All of a sudden, he stops. He looks at me. He goes, brother, who are you? I said, my name's Tony. I'm just a guy and visiting. And he says, wow, the Holy Spirit's all over you. I have to start. Let's just stop the meeting. I got to prophesy over you. I got to pray for you. So those kinds of things were happening wherever I went. But at the same time, the Lord started using me to pray for people, and it would get healed. and delivered. And let me give you an example of that. It was around 2015 or 16, and Eagle Feather, who's on your friends list,
he's
was
a good
up
friend
preaching.
Of mine.
He was up preaching in Middle Ohio, and I wanted to meet him. He was on my friends list, and I wanted to meet him. And so I drove down, and I got to the meeting late, and it was a small meeting of about maybe 20. And so I came in late, kind of like went around the back so I wouldn't disturb anything, and he's preaching, and people are listening, and I'm just sitting there minding my own business, hoping I'm not disturbing anybody, and I'm just wearing my old clothes, and he preaches, and then I think after the meeting was over, after he was done preaching, the people wanted to pray for him. So they came and they started praying for him, and I just sat back in my seat where I was at. I did not go up to pray for him. And there was a man there that was on the ministry staff for that group, and I'm looking at him, and the Lord tells me he's got a terrible pain in his back, in this area near his kidney, terrible pain in his back. And I'm thinking, gee whiz, Lord, if I'm really hearing you, what am I supposed to do with that? So I waited and I waited, and I said, Lord, open a door for me if that's really true. And so the door did open, and we prayed for him, and the Lord healed him. And those types of things were happening wherever I went. I would just mind my own business, go sit in the back somewhere, and then the Lord would start speaking to me and telling me about the things that were wrong with specific people. And sometimes I would go to whoever was in charge of the meeting and say, hey, I think the Lord's telling me that there's people here that are hurting, that he wants to minister to them. Or there's just like last week, there was a meeting I attended, and we were into the meeting, and I was just sitting there, and the Lord said, there's somebody here suffering from headaches. Well, the people, the guy that was in charge of the meeting already had a time of praying for people that were sick. And this happened to happen after that was already over, and they were moving into the next phase of the meeting. And so I went and submitted to him anyway, and sure enough, there was a woman that was sitting somewhere in the body there, and he asked if anybody was suffering from headaches, and she raised her hand, and so they prayed for her. There was one time this was probably one of the most unusual times that I experienced. I was in North Olmsted, Ohio, and I was part of this charismatic Lutheran body, and I was on the ministry team, plus I was on the praise team. So we were doing praise that day, and after the praise was over, I just sat in one of the benches. And there's probably about like 300 people there. And this place is real kind of fancy. It's got huge, huge walls, colored windows all over, very prestigious as far as worldly things, like as far as the building. About maybe 200 to 300 people there. In sitting and listening, and the pastor gets up, and the pulpit was like about 3 to 4 foot higher than the floor, so the pastor would have to climb some steps to get up into the pulpit. And the Lord says to me, as this pastor's name was Roger, as Roger is preaching, the Lord says to me, I want you to go interrupt Roger and tell him I want to heal people after he's done speaking. And I said, Lord, are you nuts? If I go up there and do that, the elders will grab me and walk me right out of the building. And the Lord kept pressing me. And the Lord kept on pressing me and pressing me. Finally, I did it in front of all the people. I walked up and stood next to the pulpit, and he kept on preaching. I'm standing there looking at him, and I'm sure everybody was wondering, okay, what's this guy on? What's he doing? So Roger finally looked down, and I knew Roger real well, so. He knew I wasn't some weirdo or something. We were friends. So, but the people in the audience didn't know that. And so he looks down at me and he says, there's something I could do for you. And I said, yeah, would you turn your microphone off for a minute? So he reaches over, he turns off his microphone. And I said, Raj, the Lord wants to heal people after you're done. So after you're done with your sermon, invite people to come up to the center. This type of setting was that there was a triangle in the middle of the building, and the altar was in the middle. So there were seats on all sides, except in front of the pulpit. So he says, okay, I'll do that. So I go back and sit down. He finishes his sermon. He gives an invitation, and he calls the ministry team, which I happen to be on, to come forth and minister to the people. So the ministry team comes up to the triangle. And before, there was two steps to the central platform where the altar was at. And before I could take the second step, this this man from Greece who had been living in the United States, his name is Nick Hody, comes up to me and he's grabbing me by my belt before I could step up on the second step and turn around. And I thought it was the elders. I thought they were pulling me down for interrupting the service and were going to take me out. Well, it turned out to be Mr. Hody, and he's got two little boys. And they were like 5 and 6. I think they were his nephews. And he spoke in a real broken Greek-American accent type of speech. And he spoke very fast. And so he tells me, brother, I know that when you went up to talk to Roger and Roger gave the healing invitation that you were the one that was supposed to pray for us. And I said, okay, what's up, Mr. Hody? And he said, these two boys have a brother that's about 10 years old, that's in intensive care, currently in intensive care, and he's in a coma. And he's been in there for a couple weeks, and the doctors can't figure out what's wrong. And we want you to pray for their brother. So I said, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do with this? What's the plan? So the Holy Spirit says to me, anoint their hands with oil, the two little boys, anoint their hands with oil, and send them to the intensive care unit, and have them lay their hands on their brother's head and rebuke the devil from his head in the name of Jesus. Tell the devil to get out of his head. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I told Mr. Hody, I told the boys, I had oil with me. I anointed their hands with oil. Mr. Hody was getting very, very anxious and nervous. And I could see it in his face. And I'm thinking, I wonder why this guy is nervous. But I didn't ask him. So they leave. I said, hey, hope you have a good report. So, they leave, and we were ministering to other people. And so 2 weeks later, Mr. Hody comes into the meeting early while we're practicing, the praise team's practicing, and I'm practicing with the praise team and before the meeting starts. And he goes, oh, brother, did I tell you what happened? Remember when we prayed 2 weeks ago, did I tell you what happened? And I said, no, Mr. Hody, I was hoping that you would come back and tell me some good news about what happened. Now, this little boy that was in the coma, his name was Noah. And he said, oh, brother, do you remember when I came up to you, I was nervous when you were telling the boys what to do? I said, yeah, I noticed that. He said, let me tell you what happened. When I was praying for the boys to and anointing their hands with oil and telling them what to do, Mr. Hody was thinking the intensive care unit is not going to let the boys in because they're not over 18 years old. They're not over 18 years. And you have to be over 18 years old to get into the intensive care unit in this particular hospital. So he was getting all nervous about that. And so what he did was he took the boys home to their mother and told them what happened. And the mother called intensive care and talked to the head nurse. And the head nurse said, bring them in. So she brought the boys in, and they did what the Holy Spirit told me that I told them to do. And they laid their hands on the brother's head, and they rebuked the devil from his head, and it told the devil to get out of his head. The next day, the boy woke up out of the coma, and he was out of the hospital. Now that was a Sunday that we prayed. The next day, on Monday, he woke up out of the coma, And at the end of the week, they released him from the hospital. 100%
awesome.
Okay. So I was,
awesome.
I thought, wow, Lord, man, that is, I mean, I don't read about stuff like that unless I don't see stuff like that unless I read about it in books, like in Smith Wigglesworth books or Mariah Woodworth Eder's books or, you know, John G. Lake's books or other books of people who have walked before us that have functioned in the healing ministry. And I thought, wow, this is awesome, Lord. Thank you so much that you're doing those things that you did before and blessing your people. Those are a few of the testimonies that I've experienced and that I was so thankful that the Lord let me be part of it. It wasn't because of me. It had nothing to do with me. It was just that the Lord chose me to be the vessel that he was going to use in that particular instance.
You know, I spent a lot of time telling people because, you know, God does a lot of miracles in my ministry, and I'm very blessed for the gifting that he's given. But I believe that we're in a day and age now that Jesus Christ is absolutely returning sooner than most people think. And he is fulfilling his promise that in his last days he would pour his spirit out on all flesh. And I believe that every Christian has the authority given to him by Jesus himself. When he died upon that cross, he gave us authority to go out and heal people.
Yes.
And I tell people all the time, I said, the first thing you've got to do is get your head out of it, because it has absolutely nothing to do with you as an individual. You're just a vessel letting the Holy Spirit work through you. I have seen the Holy Spirit heal people without me saying a word. I have seen him do miraculous healings over the telephone and over the internet. You know, there was a couple of women who that I ministered to. They both had one leg shorter than the other, and he healed them over the phone. I actually felt. I call it empathy pain. When I pray for people, I can feel where they're hurting. I can feel what's going on. And it's kind of like a word of knowledge, really, except it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
And when it leaves, I know it's left them. But I'll tell you what, one woman, I could feel my legs are normal, but yet I could feel a leg growing. It was one of the weirdest experiences that I ever had. Like, whoa, what is going on here? But then when that feeling left, her legs were normal.
Amen.
But I tell people all the time, it has nothing. Nobody has, there ain't a man or woman on the face of this or earth that has healing power in themselves. It must come from the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. And it is done in the authority of Jesus Christ. So I tell people all the time, divorce the gray matter in your head. And I was guilty of it when I first started. Excuse me. When I first started ministering to people, there were times that, you know, I would go, oh, Lord, this one's too big. Or I don't know if this is, you know, I doubted things. I was afraid. But I have found that the old acronym of fear being false evidence appearing real is true. Because every time I've stepped into it, God did what God's going to do, you know. So people have to understand that. It is because of the word of God people are healed. It is because God's doing it. It has nothing to do with us. I tell people constantly that faith is actually spelled R-I-S-K. If you're willing to take the risk, he will come through. And I do have friends who say, okay, I pray for him and nothing happens. And I go, well, take the risk anyhow, because even if nothing happens, you did your part. But what if something does happen? Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the point. Mm-hmm. We have to be... I know in my own ministry, there's... I don't know, probably 95% of the people I pray for get healed. But But there's that small percentage that doesn't. And I don't understand it. I wish I did. People ask me all the time, why don't I get healed? And I can also, all I can say is I don't know.
Let me share something like that. I know some people will probably disagree with me just because they were taught differently or their theology is different. Let me share maybe two or three examples. Just kind of like what you're talking about too. It was about 3 years ago. A guy that lived in the next county over from where I live called me. His name's Tim Adams, and he's on Facebook. He called me, and I didn't. He was kind of like anxious because he had to go to work. He's working second shift on some sort of assembly line or something, and he calls me. He says, "Brother," he says, "I'm in trouble." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "My ankle. I hurt my ankle, and I don't know if I broke it, but I hurt it so bad that I can hardly stand on it, and I have to be at work in an hour. I can't take off work, and I have to stand on my feet all day long, and I can hardly stand up." And I said, "Lord, you know, what am I supposed to do?" And Tim says to me, "I believe if you pray for me, the Lord will heal my ankle." Well, I'm used to laying hands on people. I'm used to being right there in front of them. I'm used to being physically be able to touch them, look into their eyes. I'm not used to this being away from them, you know, 30 miles away and on the phone. And so I said, "Lord, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to pray for this guy? I'm nowhere near him." And the Lord, I was going to bow out. I was afraid, like, you know, like you said. Yeah. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what to do." And the Holy Spirit says to me, "He has faith to believe that I'll heal him if you pray. It doesn't matter that you're on the phone. He has faith. You don't." He says to me, "You don't have the faith, but he does. So don't rob him of his blessing. Just pray and I'll do it." I said, "Okay." So I prayed just like I would as if he was standing there in front of me, which was, I've never did that before. And the Lord healed him. And he started crying out on the phone. He said, "Brother, my foot, I could stand on my foot. And, I am being blessed as much as he is because I'm experiencing this new thing that the Lord's doing, healing people over the phone." I thought, "This is awesome. You know, I don't have to be with people anymore to pray for them. If they call and we pray, the Lord will heal them."
That's true.
So he did. The Lord healed his ankle. He went to work. And then another lady, her name's Shirley Sook. She was on my ministry team back in the 90s, and then I had not seen her for quite a long time, maybe 20 years. She called me one day, and she said, "Tony, it's Shirley." I said, "Hey, Shirley." And she said, I'm at my house. She lives like 30 to 40 miles away from me. She said, "I'm in my house. I can hardly walk. It took me half an hour to walk from one side of my dining room to another side of my dining room." I said, "Wow." You know, because I know Shirley. There was nothing. She never had a problem with anything. And I thought, okay. She said, "I need you to pray for me." So I thought, "Oh boy, here we go on the phone again." And so I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll pray and you move." And so I started praying and I said, "Shirley, I believe the Lord's going to do what's called the working of miracles. We're going to pray, and then you're going to do the work, and then the Lord's going to do the miracle." So I started praying and I said, "Okay, Shirley, start to walk now as if you would walk normally. Start to walk." And she starts weeping on the phone and she says, "I can do it. I can walk." And I said, "Now run around your house, run inside around in your house." And she started running. I said, "Praise the Lord." And so we rejoiced that the Lord had healed her, and it was over the phone, and she was, you know, she was made whole. And I thought, wow, that's awesome, Lord. Thank you so much. And well, it was a method I wasn't used to, but I was thankful. You know, I was thankful that we're not bound.
I absolutely understand what you're saying. Those who listen to the show on a regular basis know that my life actually changed on May 5th of this year, and I've seen well over, I think we're probably right around 270 miracles, and I would say 85% of those have been over the telephone or over the internet. People in Germany, people in Africa, people in the Philippines being healed over the phone. And what I've learned about this is real simple. We can't put God in a box. There is no methodology. There's no certain formula that you have to follow, because when the Holy Spirit moves, he moves. And he is not limited in any way, shape, matter, or form. So a lot of things that I used to believe, you know, I've been in ministry over 35 years, and I was like you. I thought I had to lay hands on them. I thought I had to do this and do that. And the truth of the matter is, once again, it has nothing to do with us as an individual. It has to do with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit doing the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the will of God is for us to walk in divine health. We're not.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
all sick, sickness, death, all that comes from the enemy. None of it comes from God. And I mean, when I see people get healed without me saying a word, that's mind-boggling to me. Absolutely mind-boggling. I had an incident here not too long ago. I've almost mentioned in the last four shows, I've mentioned this because it just blows my mind. And so I'm not going to go into it again today because I did in the last three shows. But a man who had one leg shorter than the other by 7 inches, which is drastic.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was put a dot of anointing oil on his forehead, and I looked down, and his legs were even. Not one word of Lord heal this man. Nothing like that. It just happened instantly.
Wow.
The evangelist that was there with me, in fact, I was his guest, we both still talk about that because it blows us away.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things God has been teaching me, and I want everybody to grasp a hold of this concept. It's much easier said than done, but we must start learning to look at all people through the eyes of Jesus, not through our own eyes, not through our own judgment, but through his eyes. And he loves everybody unconditionally. Doesn't matter what state they're in. Doesn't matter if they're walking with him or if they have the faith to be healed. None of that matters. What matters is what God sees. And that same man who got healed, how can I put this without going into all the detail? He was not, when I met him, he was cussing like a sailor, using God's name in vain, every other word. But yet, after he got healed, he came back a week later. He was in his right mind. He was dressed properly, and he came back to worship God and get more prayer. God had saw the end result that I didn't see. All I heard from God that day was, be kind. Just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. You know, I didn't judge him. I just was nice to him. And he got healed instantly without prayer. See, if we learned to look at people through the eyes of Jesus, and unfortunately in this day and age, there ain't a whole bunch of Christians out there doing that. And it saddens me, but if we all would take the time to start looking at people through the eyes of Jesus instead of through our own judgment, our own theology, our own denominational differences, what we will see is miraculous things happen, and people will be receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and those people end up being great lawyers for Christ because, because we kept the denominational differences out, because we kept out the theology. What we did was go back to the basics of Acts, of the book of Acts. We went back to the basics of when Jesus sent out the 72, when Jesus sent out the 12. He just said, go do it. All right. We had a guest here recently on the show, Dr. Tony Slay. And I've been learning a lot from him. He doesn't do the prayer faith thing like I've always done. Okay. I've always done, you know, Father, if it, in the beginning of my ministry, it was like, Father, if it be your will, heal this man. Well, I've learned that it is his will. So why are we asking him to do something he's already done? Because the day he died on that cross to give us our salvation, he also gave us our healing. Same
yes,
thing.
Amen.
Same thing.
Yes.
Okay. So I command healing. I don't ask for it. I just command it in the authority that Jesus has given us. But Dr. Tony Slay has showed me a little bit different. He said, all you have to do is release the anointing. Just release it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a new concept to me, and I haven't really had a chance to test it out. But I have had the chance to test out that if we pray from the heart and not our minds and release the anointing, things actually do happen and happen quickly. Before we run out of time this morning, I do want to you mentioned Eagle Feather earlier, and he's going to be our guest next week.
Oh, awesome.
I met him back in 2012 when we had an apostolic prophetic gathering, and he came as, I call him a front man, because he'll come in and pray against the enemy. He'll go into town and pray for folks, and he'll get, he sets things up in such a way that when the actual event happened, the enemy couldn't really attack us like the enemy normally would try to do, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm.
So,
yeah, like Finney's Father Nash.
Say what?
Like Charles Finney's Father Nash.
Oh, okay.
About this guy, Father Nash, would go before Finney to the towns that Finney was going to go to and preach, and he would do just like what you said Eagle Feather would do, and then when Finney would come in to preach, they had incredible amounts of people come in and get saved. Yeah, same type of thing. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
And one of the things he also does that amazed me during that prophetic gathering was he would stand at the door and guard, constantly praying in the spirit, constantly praying for God's will to be done in that event. And that impressed me. We've been friends ever since then. He's an awesome guy. But since you mentioned him, I wanted to mention him too, because he is going to be on the show next week. And you better tune in. You don't want to miss that one.
Well, he's probably excited about doing it himself too, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome guy. He truly is. And, yeah, I thank God that Reverend Stan Schell, who actually started this program quite a few years ago, but he's moved up to Roku TV. He's got YouTube channels. He's got Facebook Live. He has an awesome ministry, and he asked me to be the guest host, or actually he asked me to be the host. I'm no longer a guest. It's just been amazing how God has just keep opening the doors, and we're getting more and more listeners, and I get to look at the stats after each program, and our numbers have just been really, really impressive for being a new ministry, at least new to me. So I want to thank Stan Schell once again for giving us this platform. And I am looking forward to more and more awesome people of God getting on here, sharing what Jesus Christ has done in their lives. I mean, I could probably spend a whole hour talking about the miracles I've seen God do just in my own personal ministry. But what's really exciting, and I do mean exciting, is there are people like you and I, Tony, all over this world seeing the same kinds of results that we are seeing. I've got a friend, he's 10 miles from me, and he and his team, they go out on the street seeing blind receive their sight, deaf receive their healing, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, 10 miles from me, seeing the same things that I'm seeing, which brings me back to the point that God truly is pouring out his spirit like never before in the history of mankind. Why? Because it's show and tell time. It's time to show people the healing power of God and then tell them why. Tell them it's all about Jesus. And that's where we're at, because Christ is coming for a pristine bride, wrinkled and blemished free. And only the fire of the Holy Spirit can iron out those wrinkles, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm done. Your turn.
Oh. Well, I think we've been programmed because of church culture that unless you're standing in a pulpit and unless you have a building or unless you're on TV or even radio, that only those people are the ones that the Lord uses to heal people or get them delivered or whatever, meeting their needs. And I think for many years since I've been on the earth, the Lord's heart is to break that thought and get the masses that belong to him into action, to start functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit, the way he wants it to be done. I think in the day of Pentecost, when the 120 were baptized in the Holy Spirit, he sent them all out, all over the place, and there's evidence that that people were saved and functioning in action for Jesus, even outside of Jerusalem. When Paul, was knocked off his horse and he was taken to that person's house and he was blind, there was another man in the area. I can't remember his name, but I think it began with an A.
Ananias.
Ananias, and the Lord was speaking to Ananias. Now, I don't know what city this was in. It had to be probably somewhere near Damascus, but I don't know exactly where it was at. But I thought, where did this guy Ananias come from? You know, where was he? Was he part of the 120? Was he? Because see, there was such an explosion. Well, you know, when Peter preached, there was 3,000 people got saved, or 5,000 people got saved, but large numbers of people got saved, and the Lord sent them out. And there's people that went out after they got saved and were preaching the gospel, ministering to people that's not recorded. So Ananias, this Ananias guy that ministered to Paul, somewhere along the line, he got saved he could hear the voice of the Lord, but he wasn't even near Jerusalem. So, where did he come from? So, if he was in that position to be able to do that, there had to be others. And if there were others, there could have been multitudes of others, and they were probably serving the Lord in the capacity that the Lord had called them to function in, but there's no record of it.
Not one of them had a church building. Not one of them had a platform. But they were all out serving God. Right. Yeah. And they definitely didn't have a TV show. And what God is doing in these last days is bringing back what happened at the first church. Is coming back now, but even stronger, because the last wine is better than the first wine. What he is doing is prepping those who want to serve him, those who believe in him with all their hearts, mind, body, and soul. If you seek to do the will of God, God will answer your prayers. I mean, people ask me all the time, well, you know, I know God answers your prayers. I know you hear from God. And I think to myself all the time, but you know what? He'll answer your prayers too. And he will speak to you too, because he is not a respecter of persons. I mean, if I was God, I would have not been the most of people to serve God. From looking at myself, my old past actions and everything I've done in my life, I would not have been the first choice to be working for God. Okay. Just wouldn't. I was like, oh, no, I take one look at that. Oh, look at that resume. He's out, you know. Once again, Jesus looks through his eyes at me, and he sees the end of the matter before it ever began. He saw that these last days that we are in, I was going to participate in a small way of bringing glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ, because when the rubber meets the road, that's what it's all about. Is people getting saved, people getting healed, people coming to a full understanding of who they are in Christ. And most of us, I want to make sure I say this right. Many people do not understand that concept. Okay? They don't understand that they have the authority. But the Bible says that we would do greater things. Greater things.
Yes,
Jesus himself did. Pardon?
Yes. Every single person. That's for every whosoever. Every single person that believes can be used like that.
You know, I have a friend of mine who says, well, you know, not everybody, you know, he says, not everybody can be a hand. Not everybody can be a foot. Some people have special gifts that God gives to them. And I agree with him. You know, I know that I received a special gift on May 5th of this year. But at the same time, I still believe in my heart that everybody can do what I do, what you do, what many of my guests in the past, they all seem to be doing the same things, which tells me, it comes down to the Holy Spirit doing it.
Right.
Now,
well, Jesus let me just interject real
ahead.
Quick. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. He was talking to everybody. You will be my witnesses. You will serve me, every one of you. Not a hierarchy, but a body of brothers and sisters serving him, where he's the head, the capstone. He's the one. We are all at the same level. We should be, at least, of the platform, serving him and loving one another and being his witnesses.
I agree 100%.
I hope I didn't throw you off there.
No, you didn't. Some people want to message me during our radio program, even though I've told them not to do that at this point in time, but they don't always. God bless them all. We have an opportunity, each and every one of us, I tell people, first of all, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know in my past 35 years, I saw a lot of really cool miracles happen, you know, probably 25, 30, over 35 years. But since May 5th, you know, we're up to like 270 in 5-6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells me everything I've been saying up to this point is true. He truly is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. All we have to do is seek, and here's what Jesus really wants. I can say this without a doubt in my mind. This is what he expects out of each and every believer, to have a personal, intimate relationship with him, to know him your best friend, to know him as your Lord, your God, your creator, your savior, to know him intimately And the best mm-hmm. way to do that is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody I know who had been ministering before receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then after, they all say the same thing. That's when life changed. That's when my ministry changed. That's when everything changed. Because what happens then is, yes, you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring you into that intimate relationship. All the gifts of God, with the exception of one, are given to us freely, so we freely give. They are given to us, so we give them to others. They're not for us, you know. I pray for a lot of ministers who are ill or sick or need prayer, because it's hard to pray for yourself because the gift was given to give to others. The only gift that was not meant for others is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is for you as an individual. That edifies you. That brings you in to that intimate relationship that I'm talking about. Am mm-hmm. I making any sense here at all?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I encourage people. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll often pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues to encourage myself, edify myself, especially when I'm feeling low. And then the Lord gives me the interpretation for that, or I may just prophesy to myself the word of God. If I find scripture like in Psalm 91, I may just prophesy that out loud to myself to minister to myself and to encourage myself in the Lord.
Well, I'm a Psalms 91 man, so I understand that. Yeah, there's some good promises in there. You know, there's over 8,500 promises in the Bible, and all of them are yes and amen. So I encourage people to not believe everything you hear from the pulpit, because this day and age, there's a lot of people out there twisting the word of God, which is witchcraft, but that's beside the point. When you have the Holy Spirit, He will teach you and guide you into truth. Mm-hmm. I know what I used to believe changed dramatically after I received the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because what I used to believe was what was taught to me by men. But then the Holy Spirit started teaching me things, and my life changed. And because of the change in my life, I know it affected other people. And those people also got affected, and they affected other people. And it just snowballs. I jokingly say Jesus was the first multi-level marketer. He understood how to, you know, make this thing work. And that hasn't changed at all. Each of us are called to serve Him. But if you want to be on fire for Jesus, and that's what He wants today more than anything else, is for each and every one of us to be on fire for Him. You know, I have days that I don't feel like I'm on fire for Him. And then I have days that, man, somebody grab a fire extinguisher. I'm going to burn down the whole place. But I am very thankful that God does not depend on our emotions. I'm very thankful that the Bible tells us that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He does not change His mind concerning you and you and you and you.
Right. Amen. Yes, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right. And
the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And if we are to believe the Bible, which I do, He promised that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. I mean, I have people who want to argue with me about women preaching and this and that. And all these, excuse me, but not highly intelligent arguments over things. And I'm like, okay, but He said in the last days, my sons and my daughters will prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
That young men would have visions and old men will have dreams. You know, which for me, I don't have a lot of dreams, but I've had a few visions, so I guess I'm a lot younger than I think I am. But but the point of the matter is, we as a people, as believers, must put away our denominational differences. We must put away our judgmental attitudes, which is unfortunately, in many, many denominations and many churches across the world, to get rid of that judgment and just do what Christ did. That's what he wants us to do. The same things. Well, I tell you what, this hour's gone pretty fast. I even forgot to tell people, if you want to call in at 515-602-9685, and we'll talk to you. And if you don't, that's fine too. I also encourage people to, you know, after the program, to go ahead and download this program and share it with others. And I hope and pray that the things we talked about today will have a spiritual effect on you. Because if all of us could get on the same page, which is going to happen in spite of ourselves, it's going to happen. And I believe in this next year, we're going to see more and more and more of an explosion of the Holy Spirit across this country. I believe there's that we're approaching the final revival, and it's going to make Azusa Street and all the other famous revivals will not even compare in the multitude of what God is about to do. Because it does come back to what I said earlier. Jesus is coming soon. Sooner than we ever thought. So let me take just a moment here to talk to anybody who might be listening. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't have to go to church to get to know him. All you have to do is say, I believe Jesus died 3 days later. He rose again, that he is the Son of God, and that he will forgive my sins and make me white as snow. All you have to do is say, Jesus, if you're real, please come into my heart and prove it to me. And he'll do it. Just confess, hey, I'm a sinner. I need you. And he will show up. I promise you that. He won't fail. All of us who believe in him, we all had a supernatural event when we asked Jesus into our heart. It takes a step of faith. And your step is to say, okay, Lord, I need you. Show me that you're real. And he'll do it. So take the time to ask him today. And your life will change. This I promise you, my friends. Well, we're down to just a couple of minutes. Tony, why don't you wrap it up and tell me the last thing you want to say before we say bye-bye. Hour went fast.
I just something in the scriptures that's been standing out to me so much lately is in the book of John, and it's the two, what I see is to be the two main messages that Jesus preached that's recorded in the book of John, and that is to believe the word of God, not just acknowledge it, but to believe it and to love one another. And as we continue to become active, more active in our believing, if the word says it, believe it, become more active in believing and become more active in loving one another, I believe we'll start seeing more of the presence of the Lord coming in situations in people's lives, getting them saved, healed, and delivered, and drawing them closer to him. And I believe that's his heart. He wants to draw close to us, but we have to draw close to him first. We have to draw to him so that he'll draw to us. And that's in the book of James. As we do approach the end, before Jesus returns, I believe as we believe actively and love one another, that we'll start seeing things on the streets instead of in buildings. We'll start seeing things right on the streets by people that are in love with Jesus and ministering to others to help them with their needs that need to be met also. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, thank you for being my guest.
Amen. Thank you for asking.
We'll have you back one of these days.
Okay. God bless you, Ken. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.